Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. As the song said, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. But since I followed the scripture in Proverbs 4:20-22 that says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying, and let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find it, and health to all their flesh. I'm no longer a nobody. I am somebody. I'm a king's kid. I'm joint heirs with the body of Christ. I'm now walking as a prince to a king. I am the prodigal son who was turned around and came home to welcoming arms. Hallelujah. As I said, I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for this amazing, wonderful opportunity. An opportunity, Father God, to begin to develop and mature and move forward in your word. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to have in our life, Father God. This wonderful, joyous moment of beginning, Father God, to grow spiritually in you. Father God, I thank you for this day, the day that you have made, and truly I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, you didn't have to give us your breath and strength today, but you did, and I thank you. I thank you, Father God, because you have given us the heaven's blessings, Father God, that we surely do not have room to contain it. Father God, we have so much to be thankful for. And I just thank you, Father God, for that window of blessings you pour upon us every day. When you give us the opportunity, Father God, to rise, this is another opportunity, Father God, to grow in you. This day, Father God, I pray for those who may not know you, that this day, Father God, they will receive you, whether on this line or across the lines, Father God. Pray in the name of Jesus that the opportunity that they will hear the good news, which you commissioned us to share, will be so in their lives. And then they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which will illuminate your scriptures to them to see that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, I'm asking you every day for this to manifest, because your word tells us you wish that none should perish, but that everyone would have everlasting life. Oh, this life is temporal, but the one with you is eternal, and that is worth fighting for. So, Father God, as I go forward, I pray that I decrease and that the Holy Spirit increase in me to help me to share the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding and the discernment that you gave me to share with others. I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, because there was a time, Father God, this would not be so. But I know it's to be true. As I hear the words often, you waited on me. Thank you, God, for waiting on me and waiting for all of us, Father God, to grow in you. For I praise you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is truly a golden opportunity, because God has given us a chance to continue to grow. And even though there are times when we feel like we're not growing, like a seed that is planted into the ground and you see nothing, but one day it blooms, it blossoms out, and it begins to develop and grow. I know there's a route where I walk, and I've been in my location about 8 years now, and I've watched freshly planted trees, and I've seen them move from the little thin, a small, if you will, a tree to this blooming tree now, full of leaves and flowers and things of that nature that shows that life is manifested. And each year it gets a little stronger, the bark gets a little thicker, and it continues to show that God is producing life. That's what he does with us. We may initially be a little small or emaciated, but as long as we keep feeding, we will continue to grow. And that's what we're going to do today. Feed a little bit on God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that he provides for us in order for us to grow. Today's quote is, science is organized knowledge. Wisdom is organized life. Immanuel Kant. The older you get, the more quiet you become. Life humbles you so deeply as you age. You realize how much nonsense you've wasted during your time on this earth. Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. The constant mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Seek the wisdom of the ages, but look at the world through the eyes of a child. Ron Wild. Now the scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, news have come. Proverbs 2:6 tells us, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Ephesians 5:15-16 tells us, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And James 1:15 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without, it will be given unto you. And James 3:17 tells us, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This is what wisdom brings to us. It is pure when it comes from God. When it comes from the heavens, it is pure, untapped. And it gives us what we need to be able to move forward in this journey, not being unwise, but wise. So I want to share a little bit with you an idea or a thought, if you will, that came to me, and see if this would be helpful. When there was a period when I lived overseas, I studied with the Buddhists, and they follow various philosophies. A philosopher, one of them was Confucius. But I want to share this, and hopefully this will give you an ideal and get your wheels to turning about wisdom. Confucius, a great wise man, once said, by three methods we may learn wisdom: by reflection, which is noblest; by imitation, which is easiest; and by and by experience, which is bitterness, which is the bitterest. Your life is a great adventure filled with demanding challenges. Wisdom is key to finding your success and fulfillment. In today's world, with unimaginable access to information, we have knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. Where do we begin? Who are the wise ones? In all the great story, there is a hero and there is a counselor. The counselor is a friend who is willing to help, but never willing to do the work that you must do yourself. This is often frustrating and discouraging when we are afraid to shoulder the burdens that is ours. In a world of easy success, wise people demand that we work through our fears and fatigue to earn our true fulfillment. These wise people are a rarity, certainly. Life would be easier if wisdom abound and we could look to our neighbors or elder family members for counsel. But that is not the case. We must be diligent in our search for wise men and women to guide us on the path towards fulfillment. The scripture tells us in James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes with wisdom. Again, as Confucius stated above, wisdom is earned in various ways by looking for people who embody the three main means of acquiring wisdom: reflection, imitation, by experience. We are able to find a wise teacher ourselves. Who do you know is reflective? When you look around in these When you look around, is there someone who listens more than talks? Their lives may not be filled with all the trials that bring wisdom to others, but they may have been paying more attention along the way. They are thoughtful in their approach to life. Broad knowledge and understanding of human behavior are their trademarks. What people are there in your life that is constantly looking to improve by modeling the wise ones of the biblical days in their lives? I have a good friend who is I deeply admire because he spends time on self-improvement. His motto is better than yesterday. He is constantly learning about his spiritual heroes and applying their life lessons to his situation. He is measured in his speech, his passion about his work. He is someone I turn to for regular advice. He has suffered bitter experience and come out on the other side changed for the better. See, these individuals speak from their experience. Life has not been easy for them. They use their new understanding to help improve the lives of those around them. They carry compassion and peace integrated into their very being. They ring of authenticity in all that they do. By looking for these characteristics, we are able to find a wise teacher or a series of wise teachers who align their ways with the mind and heart of Christ. This is the model we should follow. You see, building fellowship of wisdom. You see, fellowship is such a beautiful word. To me, it conveys this ideal of friendship towards a greater purpose. It is the creation of a group of people moving towards greatness and glory. Finding and participating in a fellowship is essential key to reach for wisdom and thereby success and fulfillment. I believe that gaining material success without fulfillment comes from a deeper meaning is empty. We must ensure that we have that fulfillment in order to gather the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of wisdom's purpose to give us true meaning. Fellowship pushes us to confront our fears and our failures. They give us a space to acknowledge our weaknesses while providing input to overcome those same weaknesses. They are not built easy. For many of us at the beginning, we have no idea where even to begin. We can begin to build our initial resource of wisdom by fulfilling our time with the experience and experts of the world's greatest minds, whether it's the characters in the Bible, philosophers, spiritual or social leaders, etc. Books, podcasts, presentations, conferences are all great sources to start with. By seeking this knowledge, we can begin to reflect, imitate our heroes. In this day and age, even if they call them sheroes. As you model them, you begin to have experience. Experience is a bitter teacher, but one we must all face and embrace. Using these opportunities to deepen your own wisdom, don't let the pain of failure mask the jewel of wisdom you're uncovering. Gather them safe. As you do so and push yourself into uncomfortable places, you will meet people. Some of these people will respond to you and resonate with you in such a way that you will want to seek their counsel and advice. Find a way to keep these people in your life. Be willing to pay for them to stay in your life. You see, this may require you to spend your time, your energy, your peace, your sleep, and give up your money towards the effort of constantly developing in wisdom and understanding. There's no seed planted, there's no harvest going to return. Listen closely. You see, wisdom is not something that is gained and never to be lost again. As we gain experience and live boldly, supported, and led by a fellowship of wise men and women, we grow in success. This success can be intoxicating, and it's like all intoxicated people, it can lead to poor decisions. You see, Matthew 7:24 tells us, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Proverbs 11:12 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You see, the stories and example of people, we've seen the stories and example of people who have been successful only to have their lives fall apart. There are many. This is one of the reasons one should focus on embracing wisdom and the deeper fulfillment to another level. They become the guiding principle to help us avoid the pitfalls of success, which are greed, arrogance, and selfishness. But we must be listening. You see, the scripture tells us, my sheep know my voice. The first fellowship you should build may not always be around. This requires you must take serious internal inventory of how you are doing and where your needs are to change. You see, Proverbs 19:8 tells us, the one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper. Now be aware of the soothsayers. There is a famous character, Wormtongue, in the Lord of the Rings story. He whispered quietly to the king's ear, poisoning his mind and body. He uses words and false encouragement to trap and betray the king and destroy the kingdom. Wormtongue is insidious and cunning. The king falls with his evil advice until true wisdom in the form of Gatha arrives and casts him out. There are Wormtongues in the real world. False praise and encouragement are their tools. John 10:10 tells us, for the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Despite how humble and meek we may try to be, it is easy to be lured into the complacency by the kind words of the soothsayer. We all have egos, and they are easily inflated. I believe this is a road that leads to sadness and distance from those we love and care about the most. The difference between the soothsayer and the wise counsel is their intent and the results. You see, soothsayers in the end are seeking their own success at your expense. They are not willing to do the hard work and earn their place in the world. They look to ride on your coattail and then remove you from the picture entirely. You see, wise counselors, on the other hand, are looking to make the world a better place. They have their own projects, goals, and focus. They are sounding boards and a source of experience to help you avoid the pitfall they already seen. As I often tell my son, if I can save you 20 years of unnecessary, you'll be ahead of the game. You see, honesty and integrity are essential characteristics of these wise people. They speak truth unequivocally. John 8:32 tells us, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the choice is yours, my friend. Life is an adventure, and we all call to greatness, but the choice is always ours. Will we accept the call and take the rightful place aside the great men and women of God? Or will we always be cowards in mediocrity? You see, to quote the wise old wizard, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that we are given on this earth. See, God took the time to give us time, and he gives us an opportunity to make the wise decision. You see, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind to recognize, develop, and maintain a life of spiritual maturity and love. Thus, we must make the decision to seek out wisdom and to move in the direction that God has called us all to do, which is to be an image bearer of Christ. This leads me right into, and I won't be before you long, right into the message for the day of the show. The keys to walk through the door of God's abundant success. As I mentioned, as I come on my show, every show, I mention Proverbs 4:20-24. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those who find it, and health to all thy flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You see, this life journey is filled with challenges, highs and lows, joy, disappointment, hurt, pain, success, and failure. But in all these aspects of life, there should be some meaning that gives us hope that there is a greater work to be done, for which we are here to fulfill to the calling that is placed upon our lives. You see, Proverbs 4:20-23 tells us that there are a few things we need to do in order to truly walk in the knowledge provided that will give us the understanding of discernment, to gain the wisdom we need to be the best image bearer of Christ, in order that we fulfill the Great Commission, to go into the world and spread the gospel of Jesus, the good news of love that brings hope and trust and bring peace beyond all human understanding. This hope and trust and peace brings about a level of acceptance that God is in control of our lives, that we don't have to depend on our own understanding, because our thoughts are not our thoughts and are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. Isaiah 55:8 tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my thoughts, declared the Lord. Thus, we must do these things in order to begin the process of developing the knowledge needed to gain the understanding through the discernment of God's word, so that we may mature in wisdom, which would allow us to be more effective in our daily walk as image bearers of Christ. That if you get that in your spirit, if you get that in your heart, if you get that in your mind, to be an image bearer of Christ, you want to be, I want to be, a reflection of Christ. This is something that is easier said than done, but doable. You know, when I was away in school, I remember a quote. I love quotes. But this one made so much sense. It said, I'm not perfect, but I'm useful. See, when that call comes, it says, who shall I send? When we know that we're moving in the direction and beginning to develop and mature in the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God's word, that we truly represent Christ as an image bearer, we can say, send me. But let's take a moment to examine the word and what it says. Proverbs tells us to give attention to God's word. That's the first part. When I was in the Army, there were two commands that we would bring a formation to attention, for which there was a preparatory command that tells us that the movement needed to tell us the movement that needed to be carried out. Thus, we need to get ready to execute for the order. Then there was a command of execution that told us when the movement is needed to be done or to carry out. So as a first sergeant, one would say first and second squad, fall in. They would get in uniform, fall in. And the command for this position of fall in, they would then move into attention. When given this command, they fall in. I, as the instructor, would take posts. And on that command, fall in, they would fall into that level of attention. As a DI, as I took that post, I too represented that, and I was at attention. This was the word, this what the word is telling us in falling into rank or suit. In a position of attention, you can't turn your head. You can't move anyway. You focus on what or who is before you and wait for the next instruction. And now, like the top soldier, you will incline your ears to what is being said. As I stand in attention and I get ready to speak out and I say, fall in and attend, huh? That soldier would go straight into attention. Eyes are directed at me. Their ears are listening to me. And they are ready for the command. You see, you incline your ears to what is being said. And again, you are focused on getting ready for the next piece of instruction. Next, as a soldier, you will not let that word or what I'm saying to you depart from your eyes. You are centered on me. Why? Because you are focused on the instructor and the instructions that are being given. See, if a soldier is looking to the left or to the right, he ain't focused on what's before him. See, this is what happens with the word. Many people go into the word and say, oh, the word contradicts itself. Oh, the word is not lined up. Oh, the word is just not true. Oh, somebody wrote it. Because their attention is somewhere else. Their eyes, so even if it's not even the physical eyes, their spiritual eyes are somewhere else. They have come out of attention. In this passage, he tells us to keep the word in the midst of our heart. See, when you're standing before the DI, you are taking in what he is saying. You are looking at what he is doing, or she, and you are focused because you need to get that into you. You know, when I came home, they say, you know, you soldiers, everything is life and death. Yes, it is life and death. The scripture tells us, I give you the option of life and death. Choose life so you and your descendants may live. Yes, everything is life and death. So we need to pay. And as you're paying attention with your ears and you're keeping your eyes centered, you are incorporating this into your spirit or into your heart. Like a good leader, they are not sharing this information because it's not meant to, because it's not just meant to sound good, but so much more. Because on life path, we may have much joy, but we will experience as well grief, this difficulty from poor decisions, broken heart, discouragement, and more. Thus, we want to listen with all our mind, heart, and soul, and go and listen with intention while we are at attention to ensure, is what the scripture of Psalms tells us, thy words have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. That we may not sin against God, ourselves or our fellow battles, if we call them in the army, because we don't want to let nobody down. See, the disappointment of being distracted or diverted or not paying attention or not getting the word and the instructions deep into your heart is that when the time of battle shows up, you can't recall. What's in a man come out of a man. So if it's not in you, you're not ready to deal with what's outside of you. So it's so important that we pay attention. And the scripture also tells us why we should trust our Lord and leader at a higher level. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 said, as a sacred trust, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And in Proverbs 22, it tells us what the rewards are when we follow the command and execute them. But see, as you begin to love what you are doing, and in this case, attempting to be an image bearer of Christ by getting the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding of the word that you are paying attention to, that is going to help you to be your absolute best, to ensure that your life can be maximized on in longevity, in health, in peace, and in sound mind, you need to focus on what the word is telling us. Incline thy ears to thy saying, let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. What is he telling us here? You see, we know that when we first seek the kingdom of God and his word, there is a great recompense and reward. There is health to all our flesh. And this is in every area of life, not just physically, because sometimes we think of health, we just think of the physical aspect. But oh no, this is also mental, emotional, relational, financial, social. Let me confirm a few of these points with the word. You see, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You need to make sure that you don't get, see, the reason we get anxious because we aren't sure. But when you're paying attention to that instructor, that DI, that spiritual DI, and you're focusing, he's giving you all that you need, or she's giving you all that you need, you walk away with a level of confidence. As the scripture tells us, don't cast away your confidence, but you can't cast something away if you don't have it in you. You got to have it first. So it's so important. Why is it so important? Because for 2 Timothy 4:7 tells us, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Everything we do should be done in love. And as we do it in love, the Holy Spirit will increase the power that we need to go forward. Jesus said, I'm going to down in you what I use to walk the earth, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And because you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're now developing the knowledge, the wisdom and the understanding of God's word through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you will begin to execute that sound mind. Oh, you got to pay attention. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22 tells us, as I said earlier, our objective is to be an image bearer of Christ, so that as the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow as that tree I talked about earlier, and we grow in the love, there's something that comes with this. There's a level of unspeakable joy. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. See, we don't have peace because we're searching for the understanding of the world. But Jesus said, I give you peace, but not as the world gives peace. We begin to recognize that we can wait on the Lord. So patience becomes an easy peasy for us. And as we begin to be patient and we begin to feel a level of security, they begin to be easier to render kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Why? Because now you're not all bent out of shape, caught up in yourself, self-preoccupied, exercising selfishness and self-seeking behavior, because you're waiting on the Lord through the Holy Spirit to give you the guidance to take the next step. You are at attention, and you are exercising intentional focus on what the word is telling you. Because again, as you move forward, you begin to be more faithful in your actions. Why? Because you now have self-control. This is why it's so important to seek ye first the kingdom and all his righteousness, because you begin to get that knowledge and that wisdom. And in John, 3 John 1:2, he says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well for you. And then in Psalm 51:12, restore me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your willing spirit. You see, God wants to uphold us with his spirit, not our old man's spirit. A new spirit, a new creation. And as you begin, see, when we get new recruits in, that's an old man. When them young fellas and gals graduate, they're a new man and woman. They have a whole new way of walking. They have a whole new way of talking. They have a whole new way of interacting. As a matter of fact, when the average soldier comes home and he goes into a college campus and he sits in an auditorium, I've talked to many professors, say they can distinguish between the soldier and the civilian. because there's something in the soldier, because they paid attention. They inclined their ears to the saying and the knowledge that was being presented to them. They got the understanding. They were able to discern it, and they were able to execute it. Hallelujah. Well, that's the spiritual side. But let me show you from the relational side in Ephesians 5:25. It says, Matthew, I'm sorry, yeah, 5:25 says, that's Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus replied, love the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Oh, I'm sorry, forgive me, I read the wrong one. Love the Lord with all your heart. Your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is essential, because as we need to build a relationship with God, because God is the first relationship we ever had. We have his spirit, Hebrew 11, to us. And as we do that, we begin to evolve and grow. That allows our mind, will, and emotion, or the soul, if you will, to draw closer to God. And as we draw closer to God, he draws closer to us. And out of Ephesians 5:25, it says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We must learn to, as we take on a wife or a husband, we should begin to recognize the importance of loving them as Christ loved us. And then Proverbs 31:10-11 said, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of a husband trusts in her, and we will have no lack of gain. See, as we begin to build these relationships, whether it's husband and wife, mother and father, what have you, we begin to develop something that is essential and one of the qualities of love. Love develops trust. Trust is essential. When one trusts you, as I said, as a DI and my subordinate trusts me, the knowledge that I'm passing on to them while they're standing at attention is going to help them to save their lives and their comrades' lives. Hallelujah. And then in Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. See, the relationships that come as we incline our ears to God's saying, and we don't let them depart from our eyes, but it put them in the midst of our heart, we begin to recognize that as we evolve and grow in God, there are just so many blessings that come into play. Financially, scripture tells us, and the Lord shall, in Deuteronomy 28:11-12, the Lord shall make thee plenteous and good in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy father to give thee. The Lord shall open up unto thee his good treasures, the heavens, to give the rain unto thy land in the sea, in his season, and to bless all the works of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shall not borrow. But as I said earlier, Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. We must first seek God. We must first seek God. We must first seek God. And again, it's like a new recruit. When they get started, they're not seeking, if you will, their mother, their father, their brother, their sister. They're seeking that instructor before them. They're seeking that DI, that drill instructor. This is what we're doing. We're being taught by the drill, the spiritual DIs that comes from the Word. Because as he or she begins to share the knowledge that we need, we begin to develop the wisdom to make the wise decisions. But then the scripture tells us in Proverbs 23, and health to all their flesh. We become healthy in all that we do or we engage in because we're not operating out of the old man that exercised a lot of unhealthy ways. But now we're exercising within the new man, and this generates a whole new, if you will, new cells, new atoms, new molecules of life that allows the system to be able to move according to God's plan. This is why it's so important that we keep our heart focused with all diligence, because out of it is the springs out the issues of life. the issues of life. Yes, life comes with its own issues. Many people say, well, if I do this, I'll resolve that problem. I won't have any problems no more. Life is problems. The thing is that it's not about the problem that's the issue. It's being diligent enough to seek out God's word to get his solution. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. He will direct our path. You see, when we focus our attention on God's word with our ears, our eyes, our heart, our mind, as the scripture and song address of the Lord that tells us that his laws, statutes, precepts, commands, and decrees, and it's a glowing term, if you will, in verse 10 and 11, that lays out an amazing benefit of leaning on his precious word. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, they are much finer than gold, sweeter as the honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and is keeping them there is a great reward. As we move forward into our week, let not God's word be something of passing fancy, or fade, or just a routine that with no life in it. Instead, allow his word to reside in our heart, that we refuse to let it part from us, in order that these keys to walk through the door of God's abundant success will allow us to be God's image bearers who represents his best. Hallelujah. It's so important. It's so important to pay attention to God's word. To focus, to have that laser focus. I was looking at a biography on the great Harry Houdini. I don't know, for some people, they may not know who he is, but he was basically an escape artist, a magician. But one of the things that they said in the interview with David Copperfield, and David Copperfield kind of has more of his Houdini's artifacts than anybody, and he said the one thing that helped him to be a great magician was that he knew how to focus, to pay attention, to align his mind, his body, and his spirit to be one in order to do those trickeries, if you will, that they did. But moving more into a spiritual aspect of it is that we all need to put our mind, body, and soul into the spiritual growth necessary to mature in Christ, that we can be too centered and focused. So as always in parting, I always like to give the soldier perspective. Are we embracing the wisdom God is willing to give us? James 1:5 said, if anyone lack wisdom, you should ask, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's funny, when a parent offers a child something that is good for them, they often question or refuse it because it may not feel good or it may not be as good as the child desires. This is likened unto us as well. For when God offers us wisdom to truly experience abundant life, we often choose what we think is best, without forethought of the consequences they may manifest not in our favor. Today I say, let's ask God for the wisdom we lack, and embrace it, because in his arms of God's wisdom, we can then know that we can be safe and comfortable, and that truly the benefits that he gives us will cause us no harm. Let us be strong in the Lord's wisdom and mighty power, and I am surely confident that we will see those great recompense of reward. Ephesians 6:9-12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. This will ensure that as we gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and the ability of discernment through the Holy Spirit, we will be the better for it. But we must do as the word tells us. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For it is life unto those who find it, and medicine to all our flesh. Hallelujah. And as always, remember Mark 10:35, as you begin to evolve and grow and spiritually mature, and you want to be the image bearer of Christ, Jesus would explain, as he said, Jesus explained that he came as a son of man to give his life as a ransom. For even the son of man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, I know that we've been conditioned by the world that it's about me, it's all about me, it should be focused on me, but that's not what it's about. This body, as I was telling the young man the other day, this body that you house, yes, you, there's a self-peace that is important. It's called self-preservation, because you should preserve the house that God has placed you in. But as you preserve it, you're preserving it so that the Holy Spirit, where it resides in this house, will be able to execute all that is necessary for you to fulfill your purpose and your destination and your calling for God's will. So that is the reason that we're here, to serve, not to be served. And as always, there's the most important part. For many people who have not come to the conclusion that accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and confessing with their mouth and believing in their heart that he died for their sins, they miss out. But I pray today, and I always pray every day, that none should perish, that everyone has everlasting life. As God waited on me, I believe he's waiting on you. And if it's not today, think about it, because as the song say, tomorrow, who promised you tomorrow? You better choose the Lord today, because tomorrow very well might be too late. It is time to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I can tell you the benefits far outweigh the disadvantages that you may think you're going to experience. Those things that once were so important, so valuable to you, will take a back seat compared to all the blessings that God gives us in the name of Jesus. So again, if you haven't accepted him, open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your eyes to see the great benefits that God can only give. If you want peace to surpass all understanding, you want that unspeakable joy, that doesn't mean you won't have trials and tribulations and highs and lows, because accepting Christ is the easy part. The walk is a little harder. But what is it that hasn't been hard when you decide to make a decision to do it? If you decide to go to college, you got 4 years to go. If you decide to join the Army, you got whatever the contract you sign up for, 3, 4, 20 years. It all takes time to reach the pinnacle, to reach the goal, to reach the end result. You see, you're striving for the prize, but it takes time and it takes work. A man that don't work shouldn't eat. You can't eat of the fruit of life if you don't do your part. So this walk may seem a little scary and a little uncomfortable, because you might not want to give up something, but he who loses life gains it. I've always said that I'm willing to take a loss to make a gain. In this case, when I decided to lose my life, to gain my life with Christ, I gained far more than I could expect. So I pray that you open your eyes and be willing to receive it. Now, there are going to be many others who's going to be in Kingdom Builder Development throughout the week, delivering God's word in some form or fashion that will help you to gain the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding to have a victorious life. Please join us at Kingdom Builder Development Institute. And if you need to write because you want to be a part of the team, you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com, or you can contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And always, it's nice that if you can sow into the ministry to keep it going, it would be a blessing. And as one thing I heard an elder tell me, it's a blessing to be a blessing. Hallelujah. So you can sow into the ministry at www.givelify.com, which is givelify.com. As always, in parting, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous thing through God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding as the Holy Spirit give us discernment. Watch the miraculous things he will do through you to be victorious throughout this week. God bless you, and as always, in parting, I'm Brother David, and I appreciate you taking the pulse of the cause so that we can share the knowledge and wisdom of understanding of God's word. God bless.